Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, very pleasant good morning to you. Welcome to hour two of our little show here. It's July 14th, 2020, and you've got OneRadioNetwork.com. Got a good lineup for you tomorrow on fun stuff with about money and a little politics and culture with Brandon Smith. He's a fascinating fellow. This will be our second go-around with Brandon. We like his work. He's quite an investigative reporter and political and cultural analyst, and he's thinking there's going to be some real civil unrest and wars moving on forward if things keep going the way they are. We like to keep to the light instead of the dark, but it's good to talk about these kinds of possibilities. And then before that, Lynette Zhang, and she's a financial guru of sorts and pretty deep into the bowels of the Federal Reserve Bank and the banks and gold and silver. And she is arguing that this COVID phenomenon, whatever it is really part and parcel about a global currency reset, to reset the whole thing, reboot it, and start all over again. Well, that's an interesting idea. We've heard about that for years, of course, but they, whoever they are, say that it's going to happen soon. So we'll see. So that'll be tomorrow. Right now, we're going to talk to G.S. Youngblood. I love that name, G.S. Youngblood. You know he's an author of that. He is author of The Masculine in Relationships, a blueprint for inspiring the trust, lust, and devotion of a strong woman. Whoa. G.S. Youngblood, good morning.
Good morning to you, Patrick. Yeah. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Speak up a little bit for me, Gary. G.S., rather.
Yeah.
So, what's this fascinating with you? And do you have the trust, lust, and devotion of a strong woman in your life?
I am actually not in a relationship right now, and just being transparent, ended a 7-year relationship recently.
Wow.
We mm-hmm. lived far apart, and that and other things came between us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That'll do. We've heard this idea about behind every man, there's a woman, right? And lurking and really kind of, in a way, in a sense, and I mean this positively, intuitively kind of helping, supporting, and running the show. Does that kind of make sense to you or resonate with you at all?
Yeah, well, you said two very different things. You talked about a woman supporting a man and then a woman running the show. And I mean, these are such charged topics, you know, particularly in our society today. You know, you talk about a woman supporting a man, and I think that plays into the devotion aspect. And for me, that is such a key quality where you're in a relationship where you as the man are creating the conditions where she naturally feels devoted to you. It's not out of compulsion. It's not out of misogyny. It's not out of the 1950s. It's because you make her feel safe. You take care of her. You allow her to thrive in her talents. You validate her emotions. You do the things that make her feel emotionally safe, physically safe, and financially safe. And that's where that devotion starts to arise organically, and again, not compulsively.
Uh-huh.
And then the other part that you talked about was running the show. Now, this is an interesting one because, you know, again, historically, you know, you had this sort of 1950s kind of, you know, persona. Sure. of the man and the woman and the man in charge. And of course, that's ancient history these days. You know, the inside joke is that all women are strong women. And so for a man, you know, the challenge for many men these days is like, wow, how do I be in my own power and, you know, allow her to be in her power, because she's an autonomous being. She's very capable, very smart. And this book is about how to actually be in your own power and bring that to the relationship while you still honor all her capabilities and powers at the same time. So it's really a model of masculinity that I feel can coexist in this modern world.
Mm-hmm.
And the realities of that modern world. Does that make sense, Pat?
Yeah, it does. Thank you, GF. I'm getting lots of noise from your headset, or you're hitting it or banging it or kind of clicks. And can you want to move that around a little bit? Do you want a headset?
I can't. Can you hear it now?
Yeah, let's see. I'll let you know. It was just making noise when you were talking, and kind of, okay. And kind of, I want to hear what you got to say. G.S. Youngblood and the masculine relationship. So, you mentioned the idea, of course, on the money and the financial end, and you see so many different surveys and, you know, of course, on television, and I'm not television, but movies and such. The security and the idea for a woman, is it a pretty big deal to know that she's been going to be able to be taken care of financially, do you think?
Well, security, let's broaden that for a second. So there's physical, financial, and emotional. And I think you're asking me about financial, correct?
But right now, financial, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is an interesting phase that we're in as a society. Most of the women I know make great money. They make as much as their partner.
Sure.
And that's becoming more the norm. And so you're having most women not necessarily dependent on a man. But this is not about, I'm in charge because you depend on me for money. This is about respect, admiration, and it's more at the energetic level. So even, so let's say I'm in a relationship with a woman and she makes the same amount as me. Let's say she makes enough that she actually could support the both of us. If I'm just hanging around the house and going surfing and really not having direction and purpose and doing something in my life, she's going to start to lose respect for me.
Of course.
And so it's less about men being in the sole provider role, but it's more about men being on purpose and doing something creative in their life. And when I say creative, it's not necessarily, I mean, art or anything like that, but you're just creating something in your life, and it doesn't necessarily matter what it is as long as you're passionate about it. And so I'll give you an example. I have a friend who is an aspiring filmmaker and men's coach. Mm-hmm. And the problem is neither of those are lucrative professions. And, you know, his wife, who's pretty powerful and makes good money, she's constantly saying to him, hey, what's your plan, man? What is your plan here? And it's created a lot of friction in their relationship. And it's not so much that he's bringing in the money. It's that he's not doing something with his life that is producing wealth, you know, commensurate with what she's bringing to the table. And so it's really at that energetic level, at that respect level, that a man has to be what you would call a provider, even if he's an equal co-provider with his, you know, very modern, very capable woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what you're speaking of here is something our listeners are probably pretty into, this idea of just mutual respect and unconditional love. But I suspect if you're out there talking to people, writing these kinds of things, this is not as obvious to, I would say, most men or most in our culture as you and I might think it is?
Yeah, it's true.
Is that true?
It's true. You know, men are confused, Patrick. Men are confused.
Well, we stay confused, yes. What can I tell you?
Say that again.
I said we stay confused, man. We just stay confused. Yeah. If we didn't have women to say, hey, what's the right thing to do here, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah, but let's not stay confused. And this is what I'm trying to do with the book and all the other things that I do, is really help these men wake up at that their way of being is painful to their women. Mm-hmm. I have so many coaching clients. I mean, you'd be surprised. Coaching clients whose wives are really on the verge of leaving them.
Wow.
And as I dig in and try to figure out why, they live as a nice guy who doesn't have any preferences or boundaries or needs. They kind of give up their needs and just do whatever she says.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to bring leadership into the relationship, whether that be, you know, the logistics of the relationship or into the bedroom. And these women are dying. I've got one client whose wife says, I'm just dead inside. And
wow.
I love you. And I really think you're great, and you're not leading me, and I'm dying inside, and I want to leave. And it's really heartbreaking for me to work with these men, but it's also gratifying because it's amazing, because that same client, we worked with him for a little while, or we worked together for a little while, and about 2 weeks later, his wife is she kind of softened on her stance of the I want to leave. It was because he started to really tune into what he wanted, and to really bring that to the relationship instead of just saying, well, baby, what do you want to do?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so these subtle shifts in how the man is can really make a huge impact in the feminine psyche. And things can change very rapidly.
And I would suspect then
what I say in the book is...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'll just say this last
sentence. Go ahead. No, take your time.
It's, you know, men, I say, men, stop blaming your wife or your, you know, your female partner. When you change, she'll change.
And she'll, when you'll change, she'll change. When you kind of do your dream and be your own person, you're more, she's more attractive to you.
That's right. Because like it or not, you know, I don't necessarily buy into the fact that we're all equal. I think that there's feminine energies and there's masculine energies. And if a man wants to occupy that masculine pole and have a feminine partner really be attracted to him, he's got to display these masculine energies. And part of that is bringing leadership, clarity, decisiveness, having purpose and doing things in this world, and also making her feel safe, both physically, financially, and emotionally safe. Like that's the template in the book. There's a three-part blueprint, which I lay out, which is my model of what I think masculine is.
So many people try to change the other person in a relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you work with people, and how do you go about that when that's going on?
That's a big area of focus for me with my clients, because everybody wants to blame the other person, right? We all do that. It's human nature. And I'm really trying to preach, I don't know if self-reliance is the right word, but it's like, look, stop blaming it on her. Stop waiting for her to change. You change and she'll change, as I said before. And because what I've found is that when the feminine gets irritable or critical or closed emotionally or sexually, they're usually responding to the guy's way of being, mm-hmm. you know, where the guy is not stepping up, the guy is not bringing leadership. And so that's actually, to me, very liberating as a man, because I can say, okay, well, all I have to do is work on my behavior and she'll naturally respond to that without even trying or even knowing that she's responding to it. To me, that's liberating, because now my fate is in my own hands. And that's what I try to get men to do, is stop blaming her and work on yourself and you'll see things change. And guess what? It's happening with my clients, with nearly every single one of my clients. This is how it plays out.
G.S. Youngblood is with us. If you care to join us, Patrick, at oneradionetwork.com, or use the telephone, but doesn't involve your thumb, so you probably won't do that, but you can. 888-663-6386, July 14, all about money and our culture tomorrow. So when you say step up, you know, talk a little bit about that, G.S. Youngblood, with the guys you work with, to step up. What are you encouraging them and helping them and coaching them to do?
Yeah. You know, Patrick, the best way for me to answer this is to lay out the blueprint in the book, because it really answers the question that you've asked. And, you know, what I wanted to do, you know, men just want to be told what to do. They get confused and they're just like, look, man, tell me what to do here.
Yeah.
And so I tried to lay out a very easy to understand three-part blueprint for masculine energy, or masculine core, as I call it. The first is to respond versus react. And so this is starting to develop the quality of stillness and groundedness and non-reactivity in a man. You know, you've seen different energies in guys out there. You know, some guys, they're very expressive. They move a lot. They, when their woman gets upset, they either shut down or get very defensive. You know, they're just basically reacting to the world's stimuli.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you can contrast that with a man who's really, he's got that stillness and groundedness to him. And there's a little bit of space between stimulus and response. And so, you know, his woman might be upset and he can just sit calmly, pause for a second, consider how he wants to respond to that, and then respond. And that happens in any situation, in a business meeting, in a negotiation, anything like that. And so what I do is I work with men to develop that natural quality of groundedness and stillness. And a lot of it is embodiment work, a lot of meditation, breathing, and movement work that I do that really... more than you ever think possible, it really calms the nervous system down. And once you calm the nervous system down, everything's possible, and you're gonna naturally be much more grounded. And people feel that. People feel that around you. When you're anxious, that transmits to other people. And when you're grounded, that also transmits to other people. And a feminine partner wants to be around a man who's grounded. So that's the first part of the
So principle. Not to and, be a unconsciously reacting to the other person, or even the world around us.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, you're choosing how to respond. You're responding out of intention rather than reaction.
Rather than reaction. Yeah. Let's take a quick little break here, G.S. Great stuff. G.S. Youngblood, his book, The Masculine in Relationship. And this is OneRadioNetwork.com. And it always helps to have good toofies, too, girls like that. Previously, we talked with Dr. Rulin Zhu about using Pearlseum on your teeth.
You have to experience it. You'll believe it.
Yeah, you do. That's what I've been saying to my listeners. I keep saying, can't even explain this. Just buy it. Just click on it, buy some. Trust me. Just trust me. And you're going to like the way your teeth look. That's what I keep telling.
Dentists, they did an experiment on their clients, and they literally prove, and they literally show the picture every day. You know, when they take it in a few days, their tooth literally become, like you said, like a pearl, and it looks so beautiful and really white and shiny. Yeah, it really works, and it's also scientifically proven by the experiment. And he literally proved it is not only good for your teeth, he also proved it's also good for your gum.
Try some of this Pearlseum. I think you're going to love it. You can try it internally as well. Helps with sleep. Great way to get absorbable calcium, and also on your face. You'll see the green ad there, the beautiful green container. Get the capsules or the powder. Pearlseum. Click and order. OneRadioNetwork.com. We just received three more a couple days ago. I get them three at a time. And I took a teaspoon this morning, and it really can help settle down the nervous system. GS was talking about the nervous system, and it's really critical in our culture now because of all of the different things that we're getting programmed into doing, you know, being online and you know, using mobile phones and all the kind of things we encourage all of you and me not to do. Much as just as little as possible to survive and thrive here without getting caught up in it and the texting and the whole thing and the cell phone towers and now 5G. It's just very challenging for the body. And it's really about the nervous system. And this is one of a very nice product to use for that, you know, along with, you know, the brushing your teeth, because it is from real pearl. And real pearl is a pretty magical substance. It's been used for thousands of years, literally, in Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, to calm the nervous system. It's for beauty and strength. And this is real pearl that Dr. Rulin Zhu figured out how to get into a powdered form and not screw up, that's a medical term, screw up, not mess up the cellular matrix of the pearl, which is critical because you get all the good stuff, the target proteins, and it's not just calcium, but there's minerals and a lot of good things going on there, and your body will like it. You can use it to help sleep and brush your teeth with it. Check it out. We recommend getting one or two containers and see what you think. Pearlseum, OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously, with Dr. Mark Serkis, he offered this.
The audience should know both of us are into hydrogen, and specifically hydrogen inhalation. Both are into the same machine. This guy, George, the AquaCure, made it in New York and Canada. So 3 months ago, a study that was published in Dove Press, brain metastasis completely disappear in non-small cell lung cancer using hydrogen gas inhalation.
We're not saying that breathing hydrogen and drinking hydrogen water will cure your cancer. Not at all. We're just reporting on a study. But just imagine what breathing hydrogen is doing for my body and can be doing for yours, bringing things back into balance. The AquaCure Hydrogen Brown's Gas Machine, we think the best on the market. Use promo code ONERADIO, a 1 year, no questions asked, money back guarantee, lifetime warranty. The AquaCure Hydrogen Brown's Gas Machine, promo code ONERADIO, 10% discount on OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are listener supported, One Radio Network.
Talking with G.S. Youngblood, his latest book is about the masculine in relationship, and he does other things out there in Silicon Valley geeky, but this is his passion now, is writing, coaching people, and helping guys and girls hook up or stay in the relationship too. I wonder what's going on in the world of people staying together. And do you have any kind of a sense, just globally or internationally, how things are going with people staying together and divorces and such, GS?
Well, you know, I'm not dodging the question the way I answer it, but it's, you know, what we should really count is not the divorces, it's the people that stay together and utterly unhappy together.
You know, kid.
And that's far, far higher than the divorce rate itself. But I, you know, empirically, and of course this is an infinitesimally small sample set, it's rare that I know people in juicy relationships together.
Rare, Sarah, say that again. It's rare to know people in really good juice.
Have a really good, juicy relationship.
Rare.
Where attraction stays strong and there's good, what's called polarity. And that's very rare. And I very few people I know have one.
Really?
So there's a lot of ground to cover here.
Really? Huh. Mm-hmm. So we souls have just kind of got dazed and confused over this lifetimes or so and got to figure out how to do the whole boy-girl thing all over again? Or did we ever know? I don't know.
Well, you know, in the old days, it was easy because you had this compulsive power differential, right? You know, it was just a male-dominated society. So it was sort of easy that way. So it's much more complicated now. We have to relearn how can we each be in our own power together? How can we each be in the energy that we choose? You know, if I choose to be a masculine persona, how do I inhabit that energy with a woman who chooses to be in the feminine pole? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're learning. And the pendulum has swung, unfortunately. My friend, good friend, Dr. Robert Glover, wrote a great book. It's a classic called No More Mr. Nice Guy. And he perfectly described where the pendulum swung, which is men becoming nice guys. And where these are men that give up their needs. They hide their needs and then just to go along to get along. And then underneath, they're angry. They're seething. Mm. And it comes out in really dysfunctional ways. Yeah. And so that's where the pendulum swung, where guys thought they had to be like that in this new world because society was telling them that they were misogynists. And so what I'm trying to do is swing the pendulum back and say, no, man, you can be in your power and you can honor her power as well. And you can bring leadership to the relationship that is, it's more of an invitation than a demand. So it's an invitation to follow your leadership rather than a demand. And, you know, Patrick, if you want me to give you an example, I'm happy
to
make that point clear.
Yeah.
Well, let's just use the simplest of examples of, you know, where are we going out to dinner tonight? And, you know, that classic conversation, mm-hmm. where do you want to go?
Yeah, where do you want to go?
Where do you want to go? And it ping-pongs back and forth. Whereas a man can, and again, this is a simple example. Mm-hmm. We can talk about more complicated ones. But, you know, a man could actually say, you know what, I'm going to go do the research. Babe, I actually did the research, and here's three places that I'd like to go to tonight. I called all three. They've got reservations available at 8. Which one sounds good to you?
Hmm.
And then she's not having to deal with the wide open range of choices in the entire universe. You've actually narrowed it down for her, and you're allowing her to provide her input. So then she can choose. Now, she might say none of those, but she'll probably choose one of those three. And you say, boom, okay, I'll make a reservation. You check the weather to make sure that you can advise her how to dress appropriately. You know, it's going to be about 50 degrees, so you're going to want to wear a jacket and it might rain. So I brought the umbrella, babe. And I've already called the Uber. I've taken care of everything. Let's go. And so you're not telling her what to do. What you're doing is bringing leadership. You're creating some structure in what's happening that night and simplifying things for her. So she doesn't have to do a lot of decision making and thinking. And you just, it's a gift to temporarily alleviate her from having to make all the decisions. And I don't know a woman who hasn't said to me of my sort of close circle of like, man, I just want my man to step up once in a while and just kind of take charge and tell us what to do here. And so that's an energy that can feel really good to the feminine when brought at the appropriate times. Now, if you're doing that all the time and you're always in charge, it's not going to feel good, but you have to bring it at the right times, and then it feels really good. She feels led in those situations.
I find it interesting.
So that's just a simple example of a
well said. I find it interesting what you said, and I get that. And then we have so much on the culture and the college campuses and wanting to kind of tell guys, guys are being too masculine, right? They actually have courses now in college campuses. You know, you're being too masculine, and you got to get over that.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're referring to is toxic masculinity.
Yeah, toxic. Yeah, that's
what
the word.
That is. Yes. So that's different, and there's a good distinction to make here. If I want to lead, and I'm going to try to lead so strongly that I'm really just being controlling and domineering, that's misogynistic. That's toxic masculinity. When I'm imposing my will without regard for the other person's needs, preferences, boundaries, that's toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
When it's compulsive like that, that's toxic masculinity. But when I get, you know, the analogy I use is tango. So I am learning to tango dance.
Are you really?
And
cool.
It's a strong, yeah, it's cool. Oh, it's hard, I tell you that. But it's a strong lead follow dance. But you don't push her body in the direction you want it to go. You don't twist it in the direction you need her to turn. Mm-hmm. What you do is you provide a gentle pressure or an opening to create space through into which she can move. And then she chooses to then respond to that. It's an you put out the invitation to your leadership, and then she chooses whether to respond. So it's in the subtleties of things mm-hmm. in tango. It's not just physically forcing her body, because that's how you lead. And this model of masculine leadership is the same way. You bring your leadership, you bring clarity and direction as an offering, and she can choose whether to follow it or not. But if you're competent, she's probably more than likely going to. And that's the difference between toxic masculinity and misogynistic behavior and domineering and what I'm suggesting, which is, you know, it's an invitation for your leadership, and you're still including her needs, boundaries, wants, etc.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the movie Scent of a Woman and the Tango?
I have, yeah. Yeah, and it's
wonderful.
And I think any woman that's seen that thinks it's damn sexy. That
yeah,
kind of
very, yeah, very.
Yeah.
Al Pacino.
And it maps over, it, you know, Patrick, it maps over to real life. When you can lead in life like that, that's sexy to mm-hmm. most of the women that I know.
When you can lead in life like that, and because it's a very interesting dance, isn't it? It's not. So intimacy, got to talk about that, of course. You know, I get the feeling after being on this planet as long as I have, or as short time as I have, whatever way you want to put it, that really intimacy is a more spiritual, you know, more than physical. And mm-hmm. I would kind of argue that the reason the juice goes out is because the guys and girls, just my theory, the guys and girls just kind of quit growing spiritually and going deeper spiritually with one another, and they just stop because of fear, or mm-hmm. they don't have the courage to move in forward. And then the physical thing just kind of stops where it is.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, very much so.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think you're on the right track, absolutely. I'll use slightly different words.
Okay, sure.
Just to put it in the vernacular I'm using in the words, but it's the connection between the two of you, which of course is, you know, delves into the spiritual realm, but you know, a woman's body opens and closes often with the level of connection she feels with her partner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, trust, safety, and feeling connected to the male partner is, in my view, the biggest determinant of whether she opens sexually. So for us guys, we're just, you know, we're ready to go any time of the day. You know, whether we're upset or not, we could probably still be interested in sex to some degree. But a woman's got to feel connected to you to want to open her body to you in most cases. Obviously, I'm not making that an absolute statement, but I think in most cases that is absolutely true. And so, you know, I think what men need to do is really start tending towards that connection first. You know, stop waiting for her to sort of just magically feel sexual one day, and then you say to yourself, woohoo, you know, all right, let's do this. You know, if she's not feeling sexual, it's probably because she doesn't feel connected to you.
Sure, right.
And if she's not feeling connected to you, it probably means that you are not being vulnerable with her. You're not sharing yourself with her. You're not paying attention to her needs. You're not validating her emotions. You're not present in the moment. You know, you're probably on your phone too much rather than actually being present in the moment with her. You're not being real and authentic with her, where she can feel the real you inside, which I know it doesn't make sense to a lot of men, but it absolutely is the primary thing for a feminine partner. She's got to feel that connection between the two of you. And so, you know, I tell men all the time, if your woman is not feeling sexual, it's not because she's become frigid or there's something wrong with her most cases.
Right.
Yeah. It's probably because she doesn't feel your leadership and she doesn't feel the connection and the love between the two of you.
Yeah, I think
and
you're right there.
Very easy to change those two things.
I believe you're accurate, G.S. Young, but what do I know? You know? I think you're onto it. I mean, you know, scientists used to say, well, sex is all in the brain, but I think it's much deeper than that. I think we are spiritual beings, and the brain is just the hardware that the sexuality really is between the connection. And I, you know, to me, that's a spiritual connection. Here's an email for you, G.S. Youngblood. I'm getting back into dating, and I'm doing the online thing. It seems to work well as an icebreaker for people. Women's biggest complaints I found in their online profiles are, I don't need a man, I don't need a man, don't waste my time, I'm not going to be your mom, I never settle, and other things like that. Can you explain the underlying issues here? Okay, here's a fellow that's getting out there in the world, and people are writing on their online thing, don't waste my time, I don't need a man. I guess gals are saying,
right,
I don't want somebody who's needy.
Oh, I'm glad you brought this
up. I'm not going to be your mom. This is the email.
Yeah. Yes, I'm glad you brought this up. And here's the thing. You when you're a man and you're in front of a woman, some of the time, maybe a lot of the time, every man, including her father, that ever mistreated her or ignored her emotions or wasn't good to her or broke her trust is going to get projected onto you. The pain of every man's mistreatment, whatever form that takes, is going to be present in that feminine partner. And unfortunately, it's going to get projected on you at some point in the relationship. And that's what's happening in these profiles. You're just seeing not only her history, but some would say, you know, the history back of women over thousands of years that's passed down through the DNA of being subjugated and abused and treated as property. I mean, I know a lot of people who make that argument that it even goes back that far. Mm. That is all present in the moment when she's writing that profile. She's pissed. Mm. She's tired of the man boys that she meets that, you know, want to be taken care of and who want to, you know, play video games rather than actually being a real man in this world. And that's painful for them. It's painful to see a lot of the immature men who aren't stepping up, who don't have purpose, who don't lead it in the relationship, who don't have integrity, who aren't out doing something in the world. You're seeing, and who are truthful at times. So you're seeing the anger of the woman over her entire lifetime come out in that profile of like, I don't need a man. Don't waste my time. I don't want to take care of you. So, you know, men, you have to understand that. That's where that's coming from. That's coming from all the mistreatment and disappointment she's experienced over a lifetime and even over generations. And, you know, I coach men to really see past that, to actually be bigger than that anger, her anger in the moment, and become the man that would actually inspire her. And any man can do that. I really believe that. Follow the blueprint and you can do that. Hmm. You can become a man that makes her forget that anger because you really inspire her because you show up with presence, with leadership, with purpose in life, with responsiveness rather than reactivity. So I think that's the underlying dynamic, Patrick, is you're seeing a lot of that anger come out because of all the disappointment she's experienced over the years. Does that make sense?
It does, very, very much so. So you're really working a lot with the, I don't simplify it, if you build it, they will come model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Excuse me, I was just joking on my air. G.S. Youngblood. I'm just joking on my air. I don't know if I said that. Was that profound? I don't know. Safety in this world of uncertainty. My goodness, right? People out in the streets, and we got this alleged virus running around, and the financial thing is we're going to talk about tomorrow. I suspect that's a kind of a really important thing on all areas for ladies these days: financial, emotional, spiritual, physical safety.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
think?
Yeah, and this time of COVID is a perfect time for that. You know, what does it mean to help your woman feel physically safe? And I have a few comments on that. First is, we men, we don't realize how physically unsafe women feel in the world. They walk down the street and they always have to have some percentage of their attention on, you know, is somebody going to, you know, assault me or attack me or somehow physically accost me, even if it's not an assault, you know. And I go talk to 10 women and I bet 9 or 10 of them will tell you, yeah, I experienced that at times and it has me on edge.
Really?
And so for a man to create physical safety in a woman's life is a huge, huge thing. And can make you any of these ways you make her feel safe can make you, as a man, uniquely attractive to her. So what would that look like in a COVID world? Well, what it would have looked like is when COVID really started to hit, the man thinking through, okay, what's going on here? What are the dangers? You know what? I'm going to immediately order masks. I'm going to order disinfectant and, you know, any other sort of equipment. He would have done that long ago rather than waiting, you know, 6 weeks and then everybody else has already bought up everything. So he's thinking through, how do I create the safety in the situation? You know, other ways that he can protect her is he could set up some agreements for the entire family, for instance, about how we'll associate with other people and what are our social distancing norms so that you protect the family and not just let the kids sort of run off willy-nilly and hang out with whoever they want to hang out with. I'll give an example in this area. I have a friend who he was having a fight with his woman, and it'd been going on for a few weeks. It was kind of ugly, and he really needed support. And so he actually one night, he was really, really needing support, and it was very acute. And so he came over to my house, and we sat 6 feet apart and just chatted from, you know, across the way, because he really needed to be supported. And when he did it without telling her he was going to, when he got home, she was pissed because he had gone out into the world and exposed himself to other people without telling her. She felt very unsafe. And even though he took all the right protocols and there really wasn't much danger, it didn't matter. She felt unsafe. And he didn't see it like that until afterwards. And then it was like, oh, okay. And then it took him a while to dig out of that hole, I'll tell you that. But, you know, he did something that made her feel physically unsafe rather than making sure he's conducting his business such that he's making her feel very safe. So those are the kind of things that you can do for a woman, for the woman in your life to make her feel physically safe. Make sense?
Yeah, G.S. Youngblood is with us. Now, just for fun, let me whack something. I do a pretty out-of-the-box show here, and we have lots of people that believe that many of the COVID memes out there are just not correct scientifically, and this thing is a whole lot more about power and control, right? So what if a guy feels that, but the girl is not there? She's on the other side, and she just believes that this virus is going to come and get her. I wonder how somebody would, and you could just use COVID as an example, but it could be with a lot of other things, G.S. Youngblood, right, in our life, that he thinks a different way that's maybe even totally opposite. And well, how does he do that dance between, well, I think if he did his dream and really spoke his truth, she'd be more attracted to that or feel better that, or if he just kind of just went along to get along with her and was feeling not so manly doing that.
Yeah. I love that you asked that question, Patrick. It's not just about COVID. You could really generalize
your
question to
with anything. Right?
When she's having an emotional reaction about anything, and you're like, I do not get this. Why are you so worked up about this? And that's kind of a universal dynamic between men and women. Like, why are you so worked up about this? Oh, my God. And then we call it crazy. And so we can generalize the question to anything that she's feeling super intense about. And then we're not, quite frankly. And we don't get why we are. And we just dismiss them as crazy. So it's a great metaphor for a lot of situations. But, you know, it's really a choice, Patrick. Here's the choice. Is what's more important to me right now? What's my priority? Is it for me to kind of press my view of the world on her? Or is it more basic not so much about this situation, but it's like, do I want my woman to open or not? This is what I tell men. You can, yeah, by all means, keep doing things that don't work. But don't call me and surprised why your relationship is all messed up. And so do you want to prioritize the relationship and have her feel safe and have her open, or do you not? So let's take the situation where a guy's like, this COVID thing is just, you know, it's just nuts. We're going to be fine. And she's very scared about the whole thing, you know. Mm-hmm. He can kind of insist and hold on to his worldview and let that be the thing that dominates the room. And okay, great. He might feel better because he's spoken his truth, but his relationship is in shambles because his woman is closed to him.
Right.
Because
right.
basically he disregarded her fears and her emotional state. Mm-hmm. You know, the other way that he can do this is say, you know what? Okay, I can believe what I want to believe, but right now I want to open my woman. You know, I want her lively and playful and open to me. So that's a choice that I make. So what do I need to do that? Ah. Okay, I may not agree with her emotional state and the reasons behind it, but I want to take care of it because I want my woman to always know I'll take care of it. So how can I acknowledge her fears and maybe address them without necessarily giving up? So it could sound like, you know, babe, I actually, you know, I just think this is a bunch of crazies talk, but I get that you're mm-hmm. feeling really scared. So, you know, what could we do to help you feel more scared? Ah, you want to maybe instead of me insisting that we go out to a bar tonight, that we cook dinner alone tonight. Like, okay, I mean, that's fine. You know, it's
gotcha.
So it's acknowledging her emotional state and then choosing, do I want to open her or do I not? And you can still hold on to your truth, but you don't have to impose your truth onto her. You can still acknowledge her truth and then do the things necessary to make her feel safe around it. Yeah. So that's the way that I would dance, even if I vehemently disagreed with her about something.
Well, that sounds pretty reasonable. You're a reasonable guy, G.S. Youngblood. I got to do a little break here. Stay right there. Hold on. Previously, with our friend Brandon Amalani of Shen Blossom.
A good example of this also is like the Hoshu Wu formula. That is, that's a new one that came out. It's really good because it's a blood builder. A lot of people don't understand that Hoshu Wu is actually toxic if it's not prepared correctly. So I wanted to come out with one that not only features the Hoshu Wu as the king herb in the formula, but it's prepared of a minimum of 14 days. Usually we try and get 20, 21 days of cooking it. So you can think of it as like it's in a slow cooker with black beans. Huh. And it's basically just cooking down and deactivating some of those liver toxic compounds. So we do use that as like the bulk of the formula, but we basically put a lot of like mature ginseng root, like in our root extract. We have the fermented and hydrolyzed pearl powder, reishi stem, and it's got shu di hong, which is like a Romania type family. We got both the prepared warm stuff and then the cool stuff to kind of balance it out in the sense so it doesn't become sticky. If you get a good quality Hoshu Wu that's properly prepared, it definitely has some invigorating qualities to it and makes you feel relaxed, but yet fully vigorous and energized.
Now, that's the kind of Hoshu Wu that you would like, right? Really nice products, as you can hear. If you'd like to order Hoshu Wu or the other products, click on Shen Blossom right there on the front page, oneradionetwork.com. As you may know, one of our trademarks is the Know the Source that we got years ago. And I just think it's so... gratifying that we've kind of used that model throughout these, almost 14 years in this show. And even before then, before we start doing this show. And it's important these days to know the people and listen to a fellow like that. I mean, look at what he's going for just one product. Just to do a Hoshu Wu that's good, that's really worth it. Sure, the Shen Blossom products cost more than you go on Amazon and buy a Hoshu Wu? Of course. But look what they do, and look what could possibly, you know, the body works with energy and with quality, and that's how the body can heal itself. These things are just tools. So this company is amazing, Shen Blossom. Go on there through our website and look around. You'll see things on there like, whoa. Read the ingredient label and say, yeah, I want some. Shen Blossom, OneRadioNetwork.com. And the Elk Velvet is on sale, two more days. Have you ever wondered why Elk Velvet antler could be good for you?
So every year they shed it, and then in the spring they begin growing a new rack, a new set of antlers. 3 months. They grow it in three months. Think about the biggest moose rack you've ever seen, the biggest elk rack or deer rack you've ever seen. That's 3 months of growth.
It's amazing.
Now, so what you have is this organ that starts off as nothing and grows within 3 months to be an organ that's covered in skin, hair, veins, arteries, nerves. It's totally innervated. It's got bone and osseous tissue and bone marrow. It's essentially a limb. It requires special molecules like growth factors to accelerate the growth of it. And so there's growth factors in there that grow all the types of tissue that are found on it. Bone, bone marrow, nerves, skin, blood. All of that is being grown by these growth factors. And you can put that into your own blood and help yourself regenerate tissue.
Well, that's why we use it around here. You can click and order Elk Velvet Antler from Daniel Vitalis or Thrival, any Sir Thrival link right here on OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.
G.S. Youngblood, we're having fun talking to G.S. Youngblood about his book, The Masculine in Relationship. Where do guys and girls get the book?
Right on Amazon. Very easy to find.
Good old Amazon. They'll deliver it to you probably in 24 hours if you want.
Exactly.
That's pretty trippy, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, and just they can also find more information on my website, gsyoungblood.com. And I have a lot of videos on there and other podcasts I've done. So you can see a lot of my work as well and then read about personal coaching too. And
yeah,
my goal is to help as many men as possible. I want to help men not make the same mistakes I made, 10, 20 years ago, or 10 years ago when I was coming out of a marriage mm-hmm. through the path of divorce. And I want to save relationships, particularly if there's kids involved,
Yeah.
If I can help one family, not have a child be in a split home, then I feel very satisfied.
Yeah. So gsyoungblood.com, and you do coaching and you have videos, you do a YouTube channel thing too?
Yeah. You can find me on YouTube. There's a lot of videos on there as well.
Just in general, the openness for guys to hear what you have to say. I guess it just depends on the guys that gravitate towards you.
Rephrase the question.
Yeah, just Patrick, in general, do you find as your career moves forward, it's just easier. More and more guys are open to saying, "Yeah, I need to do some change. Something's not working for me."
Absolutely, and I think because I've been through it. I mean, everything I write about in the book is something that's very personal to me because I've lived through it, either doing it the right way or doing it the wrong way.
Right.
And so I write in a very accessible style that makes sense to men. I'm not writing, in fuzzy spiritual terms and making things unclear. I write in a way that people really understand. And so I'm getting, I get so many emails from readers that they're like, wow, your book describes my life perfectly. Or I've had several funny ones where the woman looks at the back cover of the book and says, that describes us perfectly.
That's what we got going on.
So the men think, okay, well, I better read this thing then. So I think there's a common dynamic out there. I've lived through it both, successfully and unsuccessfully in relationship and my long-term relationships. So I think it's just an accessible style that men are starting to realize they can make changes in their life. And the thing that motivates them is that they feel horrible in their current relationship.
Sure.
They feel completely out of their power. Their woman is dissatisfied with them. In many cases, not all, but many cases, on the verge of wanting to make a change. And that's their motivation. And when they find the book, they say, wow, thank you. This is what I've been needing.
G.S., have you had experiences where you either work with or both the guy and the gal have read the book, or you work with both of them? And how does that must be fun?
Yeah, I tell you, I prefer to work, if I'm going to work with a couple, I prefer to work with them separately. And what I mean by that is I have to have a conversation with the man that is really private for him.
Ah.
It's best that the partner not know how the sausage is made, so to speak. And not that there's anything you're hiding from them, but they want to see the behaviors change rather than the woman getting dragged through all the mud of like all the stuff going on underneath. So we try to take care of that mm-hmm. behind the scenes. But what I do is I offer a service where I will sit with the woman and really help. I will sit and really understand her dissatisfactions, her challenges, and then try to translate that back for the man, which can be incredibly helpful. Because then all these things that didn't make sense, that they just thought was crazy, they start to realize there's a reason she's acting this way. And so that's generally how I prefer to work with a couple. Mm-hmm. And then I refer the woman to some trusted partners that I know that are really good at teaching women new ways of being. And they usually are women themselves.
And you're doing, I imagine then most everything virtually these days, right? On Zoom or somewhere, Facebook, yeah? Facebook.
These days, yes. Yeah, everything's on Zoom. I'm just starting to put together an online weekend for men to develop some of these sort of edgier qualities and learn how to really lead and bring it into the relationship.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Youngblood, it's a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for hanging out here this morning with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, me too, Patrick. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. I appreciate your facilitation style.
Yeah, very, very helpful. Thank you. G.S. Youngblood, author of the book The Masculine in Relationship. Wow, pretty cool, huh? Blueprint for Inspiring Trust, Lust, and Devotion of a Strong Woman. Well, kids, we are going to take a little break here, see in about, 23 hours or so. We've got a good show for you tomorrow. Lynette Zhang, she's been into the financial guru segment of looking at money from a global level for a long time, and she suggests that there's some really strange and interesting, curious things going on in the world of money and finance, and it could be summarized into a thing called a global currency reset. She says they're going to reboot the whole thing, wherever they are. They're going to reboot it all and start again. We'll talk to her, and then Brandon Smith, altmarkets.com. Brandon is a blogger, journalist, investigative journalist, and he's real concerned about what's going on with the real divisions in our culture, financially, politically, of course, big one, and now socially with the whole Black Lives Matter thing, and the masking, no masking. It's just, and he says there's going to be a civil war, and you better figure out how not to go there, or it's going to happen. So, Brandon Smith, that'll be tomorrow. So we have lots of good things to do for you. I appreciate your ongoing support. We love you all very much, and thanks for putting up with Patrick, and thanks to Sharon, and for all that she does to keep this thing held together. And we will see you tomorrow. And I love you. And remember that I always like to say, may the blessings be.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.